Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into a topic that so many people have to navigate, child maintenance.
Mm-hmm. And specifically, we're looking at the rules here in the UK under the Child Maintenance Service, or CMS.
Right. At its heart, it's supposed to be simple. It's that regular financial payment to make sure a child's basic needs are met when parents don't live together. Things like, you know, food, housing, clothes.
Exactly. And our mission today is to clear up the confusion. We want to explain how the CMS actually calculates that minimum amount. And more importantly, we want to get into the common misunderstandings that cause so much conflict.
Okay, so let's start with the absolute foundation. When is it actually paid?
It's pretty straightforward. It's required whenever parents live apart and the child spends more nights with one parent than the other.
And the key thing there, which I think a lot of people miss, is that the obligation to pay has nothing to do with whether you are seeing the child.
That's it. It's a legal duty to provide financial support, totally separate from contact arrangements.
So what happens when parents just can't agree on a number themselves?
Well, that's when the CMS steps in to calculate a figure. And they look at four key things.
Okay.
First, the paying parent's gross weekly income.
Gross. So just to be clear for everyone, that's your salary before any tax or national insurance comes off.
Precisely. It's not your take-home pay. Then they look at how many children need support.
Mm-hmm.
Third is the number of nights the child stays with the paying parent. And finally, whether that parent has other children living in their own home that they also support.
I want to circle back to that gross income point. Why do they do that? It feels a bit, you know, counterintuitive when you're looking at your monthly budget.
It's a strategic choice, really. It's for transparency. Gross income is a hard number that's easy to check with the tax office, with HMRC.
So it stops people from, say, increasing their pension contributions just to lower the payment amount.
You've got it. It creates a solid, verifiable floor for the calculation.
But that floor has a ceiling, a pretty high one, but it's there.
Yes. If the paying parent earns more than £3,000 a week, gross. The CMS calculation is capped. They won't calculate anything on income above that.
Wow. So what happens then if you're the receiving parent and you need more support?
That's where it gets complicated. The CMS process ends, and you then have to apply to the family court for what's called a top-up order. The burden shifts to you.
And this ties into another huge exception, right? The 50-50 care situation.
Yes, absolutely. If the child spends an exactly equal number of nights with both parents, then under the CMS rules, no maintenance is payable. Zero.
And that leads perfectly into what the money is actually for. Because if no money is changing hands, who pays for, say, school trips?
That's the million-dollar question. The CMS payment covers essentials. Food, a roof over their head, basic school things. But it generally does not cover the extras. We're talking holidays, sports clubs, after-school care, or private school fees. Those all need a separate agreement.
All right, let's get into some of those myths then. This is where so much of the friction comes from. The big one. Does the receiving parent have to show receipts for how they spend the money?
No, absolutely not. That's a huge myth.
Why not? Because the system sees it as a general contribution to the running of the household that the child lives in. It's not an itemized expense account.
Yeah.
Demanding receipts is, frankly, one of the biggest causes of conflict.
Okay, what about the end date? Everyone seems to think it just stops automatically when the child turns 16.
Yeah, that's not true in most cases.
Yeah.
It actually continues until the child turns 20, as long as they're in approved full-time non-advanced education.
So A-levels or certain vocational courses count.
Exactly. But, and this is a key point, it generally does not cover university.
And a final one, you can't just decide to buy the kids new trainers instead of making your payment, can you?
No. You can't offset the payment by buying things unless, and this is critical, both parents have agreed to that in writing beforehand.
So with all these rules, what's the best way forward? The system always gives you flexibility. Parents can and often should make their own private arrangement. It can be for more than the CMS figure. It can include splitting the cost of extras.
But the crucial thing is,
get it in writing, always. That's what gives it weight if there's a dispute later on.
And one final really critical point we have to make. What if the child lives abroad?
Oh, that's vital. If the child lives outside the UK, the CMS has no power, no jurisdiction. You have to go through the family courts.
So when you pull it all together, the CMS really just provides a baseline. A calculated floor for support.
It does. It's the safety net.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you to consider. The CMS minimum covers the basics, but it leaves all the extras, the clubs, the holidays, the big opportunities up for negotiation. So here's the question. By relying on the simplicity of that official floor,
could you actually be making it harder to build the cooperative ceiling you need to really help your kids thrive? Something to think about.
Yeah.
Until next time.